Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. How are tricks with you this morning? The high pressure is still in charge, we're delighted to say. So plenty of dry weather and sunshine for the rest of the week all across Ireland. And we really need to cling to every bright blue patch of sky for the hope and optimism at the moment. I'd say the barbecues have been dusted down and the lambs are looking delicious, frolicking on the flowery hills of Ireland. It is the 2nd of April 2025. Brilliant show in store. Join in the chats as ever, north and south, on the WhatsApp. That's 087 032 32 32. And you can also email oliver@rte.ie. And Fáilte's Isteach. Now this morning I'm going to be speaking with the Pulitzer shortlisted journalist Carol Cadwalader. She is, of course, a global figure in journalism, best known for the scoop on the Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal, which was back in 2018. And you'll remember that story. It was about the company that worked with Donald Trump's election team in the 2016 election and the winning Brexit campaign the same year. And that company harvested millions of Facebook profiles, particularly of US voters. And it was one of that company's biggest ever data breaches, Facebook, that is. And the company, the analytical company, used the information to predict and target and influence and cajole choices at the ballot box in 2016. And of course, it emerged that Facebook knew about the breach a year before the election, but didn't let its users know and did very little about it. Why are we talking to Carol Cadwalader? Well, she's coming to Longford, actually, in the next month. She's going to be interviewed at the Granard Booktown Festival by none other than Dobbo himself. So news nobility, which we'll be letting her know as well. I want to find out a little bit about Carol as well, because I didn't know much about her background, actually. I know about the huge scoop, and it's an unforgettable story that was in The Observer and also published in the New York Times, truly worldwide, had ramifications that went around the world. And of course, the conversation about big tech continues with adolescents and everything, but we know all about the dangers going back to the work that's done. And we'll talk about the scoop as well, of course, and the very interesting things that she's doing now, particularly in the area of stalking, where technology, of course, is the weapon of choice of the stalkers against young people, especially and usually mostly women. So also, by the way, at that Granard Booktown Festival, you'll have Dobbo and Carol Cadwalader and John Banville and Claire Keegan are among the other guests, which is happening in the middle of this month. So we'll have an interesting conversation, no doubt, this morning. 51551 on the text. And actually, speaking of the news and journalism, I just, because of our conversation today, I spotted this in The Guardian yesterday, which was a feature on newsrooms scrambling to retain audiences because there is a big switch off. I would say it is on fast forward at the moment, because even just glancing around online at the biggest read stories, and I check in on the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Fox and other places, it's all Trump, 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 Greenland, tariffs, Elon Musk's candidate losing in the Wisconsin court race. It's just all Trump administration adjacent, and it would wear you down, grind you down. And 39% of respondents in a big, big international survey said they selectively avoid news. So it's all about news avoidance. And The Guardian basically spoke to people who call themselves news junkies once upon a time, but they're now restricting the news intake because they say they suffer from disturbed sleep, they have a downturn in their mood all the way through the day. In the conversations they're having with people, it's all about doom and gloom and so on. The Daily Mirror's editor-in-chief in Britain says the biggest challenge right now that's keeping her awake at night, as Caroline Watterson's her name, is the under 35 audiences, and basically they're not at all tuned to news, and certainly not legacy news brands. And she's saying if news companies figure out a way how to reach them, then it could be a big opportunity for those companies. But most importantly, inform people who are the next generation of voters. The proportion of people who say they selectively avoid the news to some degree is increasing each year, every year since 2017. That's even before that big scoop on Cambridge Analytica and so on. And this is a survey that happened on 17 countries by the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism, and it includes Ireland. Since 2017, the number of people switching and avoiding the news has increased by 10 percentage points. We don't really have a breakdown here in Ireland. We do know that when times of crises occur, and they seem to happen every half an hour, you get a huge spike in all news media organisations in Ireland. And there are still high levels, much higher levels of trust in news media in Ireland, the kind of traditional brands like ourselves here, compared to countries, particularly other English-speaking countries like Britain and America. Well, that's to do with the results of elections and so on, you'd imagine. Over the last decade, the number of people, they say, in this feature, getting any news online, whether through a news website or social media, has fallen across every single age group. It's not just the youngsters switching off. The news avoiders are broken down into three groups. The first is a group of former news consumers dialing back. The second are people who never engaged with news in the first place. And the third group is the young people who have not only not engaged, but they have no trust or losing trust in established news brands. Also, the social media algorithms and search engines are kind of tuning out the news. So even if you go into Google and you're looking up a news story, it's harder and harder to find articles from the usual news sites that you probably have subscriptions to because they're being filtered out by the algorithms, basically. But mostly, and I think this will chime with a lot of people, the degree of fatigue and exhaustion. People feel for their own mental health, they want to curtail the amount of news they're paying attention to. What are they doing? Well, there are changes around the world. Newsletters, these are the things if you've signed up to a news agency and you get a kind of a weekly or a daily feed into your email. They've got fewer stories now, fewer handpicked stories, podcasts that delve into a single subject rather than having a roundup of everything going on, and the reduction in the number of stories that are being filed per day. These are emerged as early winners in the news avoider war. And the other thing is personalization, where basically your email will tailor to what you seem to enjoy when you're browsing the internet and so on. That requires the use of AI, which of course is controversial. But in the BBC, they're saying personalization is going to be a big part of the answer because they have a lot of data, mostly because the BBC require a sign in. It's free content, but you have to sign in and it tailors it to your needs. At the moment, we don't have RTÉ News, which is the biggest news site in Ireland, doesn't have a sign in. That's the kind of crucial part to get the data. And we know that if something is free, that you're the product. But what we want is to trust the companies that are using our data, which is, of course, was misused by Facebook and other companies as well. And they've been fined as such. So are there any good news out there, stories around? Well, I spotted this one because there's we've had nice baby stories in this programme in recent times. Darragh McCullough and his wife, Aoife, making their way home with baby Grace. A patriotic Irish mum flew soil from her granny's back garden into Britain so that her first baby, her first baby's first steps could technically be on Irish soil. Shauna Bellew is her name, and filled a box with dirt and dipped five-week-old Eliza's feet into it. She's 27. Her fiancé, Sean Tweet, is also 27. And this is a story in the Mirror this morning, the Irish Mirror. When I went back to Ireland to announce I was pregnant in August, I dug up some dirt from Granny's garden. On the way back, I was scared security would pull it out. Oh, yeah, of course. And think I was insane. And but she got through it anyway. She put it into a Tupperware, bit of Tupperware, and she dipped the baby's feet. And there's a picture here in the paper and everything. Born in Scotland, but setting foot on Irish soil first. It's kind of, you know, the patriotic symbolism of it all. Speaking of patriotic symbolism, not as fun story. This is the Irish News. Legal threat halting design on the Irish station signs. Oh my God. Design work on Irish language signs on Belfast's Grand Central Station has stopped due to potential legal action. So basically, Belfast is a brand spanking lovely £340 million bus and rail station. But the Irish language signage has been paused due to threat of legal action. TransLink runs the public transport up there in the north. No further work can continue to introduce the signage, no signage can continue until the legal matters are resolved. And there's talk of a judicial review at the moment, and that's all happening at the moment. Sinn Féin has the post of infrastructure minister through Liz Kimmins, and they announced that she had approved the move. And then the DUP said, hold on a second, this should be brought to the Stormont executive for approval. Rulia Bulia and a bit of a hubbub, and now it's been stalled. The signage will cost £150,000 in sterling. That's the DUP kind of thing. Oh, it's too expensive and so on. But also, they'll be adding another language to the ticket vending machines. There are five languages already on offer: English, Dutch, German, Italian and Spanish. And they're claiming they will have to remove one of those languages to add Anglaelga, which would cost £28,000 to reconfigure the ticket vending machines. I can't believe that is the actual, the cost of just changing the language. To introduce Irish as a language option on the drop-down menu. I mean, like, we can do it down here. Surely it doesn't cost that much, and we're not very much good at doing those kind of projects here. Extraordinary stuff, isn't it? Bogged down in symbolism as usual. unfortunately, in Northern politics instead of the practical day-to-day business of improving people's lives. That's what they should be doing. Belfast Grand Central Station is the giant signage outside the station. Look at the picture here, and they just have to change it to an Irish language. Wouldn't that help? There are signs of some hope, though, in the DUP, because they have a secret Gaelgor faction. This is also in the Irish News this morning. The DUP leader, Gavin Robinson, has said members of his party and some of its elected representatives are fluent in Irish, but he didn't name who they are. Who could they be, asked the Irish News and the Speculator and a handful of people there. For a party that has effectively opposed every measure that promotes the Irish language, it was a surprise when the DUP leader made the announcement on a radio programme yesterday. The DUP didn't respond to follow-up requests to name names, which the Irish News says is perhaps understandable. Oh my God. Do credja, you'd have to say, in response to all of that. Sad news of Val Kilmer's death overnight. The Hollywood actor, he was only 65 years of age, and of course, big star in the 80s and 90s, Top Gun and Batman Forever. He's one of only six men, isn't he, who played Batman in the movie side of things anyway. He was second after Michael Keaton, even though Val Kilmer in a mask, you could tell was Val, with that chin, there was no hiding that this was Bruce Wayne. I'm not sure how Batman got away with it in that Gotham City. Batman Forever was a completely nuts film. It was very camp, but it was a lot of crack. Jim Carrey was the Riddler in that one. Do you remember that one? Yeah, you do. He was sadly diagnosed with throat cancer in 2014. So he did survive 11 years with it, and it was a very serious health struggle. It rendered him completely speechless, and he was out of the public eye for a couple of years. But he's a long legacy of movies behind him. Kind of really well remembered for The Doors in 1991. Then he was in the Western Tombstone. God, I haven't seen that one in a long time. That was brilliant. I did see Heat only a year ago, and it's fantastic. That's the one that put De Niro and Pacino together for the first time. Michael Mann film, Mob and City Hall and all that kind of carry on. But he died from complications caused by pneumonia and, of course, his illness as well. But he did manage, despite his vocal issues, he reprised his role as Tom Cruise is basically his nemesis. He was the Iceman, the pilot Iceman in Top Gun, and came back in Maverick 2022. That was really, was that 3 years ago now? That was a great film. Made his name in comedies Top Secret in 84 and Real Genius the following year. But it was really Top Gun that brought him up. And he was also in Willow, really. And Batman Forever was 1995, 30 years ago. And it wasn't great. And he pulled out of the next movie, even though he would have made piles of money, basically. There's a couple of texts coming in on news avoidance. I'll come to those. This one starts with mute Trump. Start a revolution. Don't report on Trump. Reporting on him gives him power. And it was such a joy when Biden came in because Trump was muted. That was the whole thing of the election. He is a rightly elected president of the United States. And if you don't listen to him, then you'd be kind of waking up every day going, oh, why is the pharmaceutical industry pulling out of Ireland? Pity I missed that news. This person says, why does news always have to be bad? We're told that we humans are not interested in good news. There's certainly an element of that, but it is it because we've been conditioned that way? Has it ever been fully tested? Give it a real chance. We'll give it a test. When you hear bad news, you love sharing it, don't you? You love kind of going, did you hear now who died? And you have a good old conversation. And there's something about the schadenfreude, whatever it is, there might be a word, Oscailge, for it. We're kind of delighted to be the first to break sad news. Something in our ancient famine ancestral brain is in there. But it's kind of worldwide too. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. Everything went well today is not a headline that has ever made anyone click into or sell newspapers back in the day when that was a thing. I'm looking at that report. Print is in a bad way at the moment. Even TV news is on the way down. But luckily, the great news in the Dáil. What's going on? Miriam Lord's headline, Trump's tariffs wreck the Dáil's rip-roaring row. I mean, you'd be glad of a trade war to take the Dáil speaking time row off the front pages. But she's having a bit of crack today. We mentioned here, was it yesterday? We mentioned Barry Heenan announcing that he was going to move away from Michael Lowry because he says he's getting a lot of abuse after Lowry flipped the two fingers, even though Barry Heenan hasn't actually criticised his friend Michael Lowry for that. The independent ED for Dublin Bay North, Miriam Lord, says said he was separating with immediate effect and from the leading light of the regional group. And she says, where did he go? She tells he sought and was granted refuge in the Lost Boys Corner on the outer limits of the chamber of the Dáil Éireann. And he joins Danny Healy-Ray, who's making the best of things now that his brother Michael is firmly ensconced on the junior ministerial benches. Side note from that, and congratulations to his son, who's become his special advisor, Michael Healy-Ray. He went around, looked for the best person to be his ministerial advisor. It just happened to be his own son. What could you do, Maria? Back to this. So Barry Heenan now finds himself sitting next to Danny Healy-Rae and Owen Hayes. Oh, yes, he's been the ostracised Social Democrat TD who's lost the whip. Cast adrift indefinitely from the mothership, as Miriam Lord puts it this morning. But the highlight of the row last night, Verona Murphy, Count Corla survived the confidence, emotion, all that crack. The hyperbole, the melodrama, the Minister for Higher Education, James Lawless. You're going, who is the Minister for Higher Education? It's James Lawless. Who's that again? You'll just have to look it up in your spare time. He said, "We are standing on a precipice. The world is burning and the barbarians are at the gate," he cried. Junior Minister Emer Higgins said she wasn't speaking in support of any personality, but in the sanctity of the Ceann Comhairle's office. Minister for Arts Patrick O'Donovan was typically understated. "You're an absolute, total and utter disgrace. Grown men, for the most part, roaring and shouting at a constitutional officer," he quivered, telling the TDs across the chamber their behaviour was something out of Harcourt Street at 3 or 4 in the morning. And she adds wryly, "Not that he would know anything about that, presumably." And there you go. The new rules start today. "We'll see how that goes," says Miriam Lord. Oh, we shall see. Coverage on Cannes Kicks coming up later, of course. And I don't know why there'd be news avoidance. Irish Daily Mail headline, "World War fee, US tariffs mark significant day in history. Everyday goods at risk." The Irish Daily Mail is all about how occupied territories bill is going to be shelved to keep the US happy because it's the end of everything. "Prepare for Armageddon" is the subtle headline in the Irish Sun, and the Don part of Armageddon is for Donald Trump. "World of Pain" is the inside headline in the Irish Daily Mail. "Trump trade madness." The world is coming to an end, it seems, and it's enough to make you go a bit gaga, I suppose. There we go. There's a segue to a song. It's Wednesday morning. It'll be grand.